Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
absolutely,
if we're
uncomfortable
talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. This morning, pleased to have a couple of familiar guests with us here from the Providence Farm Collective, their executive director, Kristen Heltman-Weiss. Kristen, good to see you again.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for having us.
And the deputy executive director, Hamadi Ali. Hamadi, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jay.
We've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of happy talk in the sense that we've got some, if you've ever been out to the Providence Farm Collective, you can understand that there's a lot of joy attached to the collective. That I guess I'm giving a little editorial there. I apologize for that. I do that, though, because you arrived today with I consider, a troubling document. And I will read just this. This is to the Providence Farm Collective. This letter provides notice that the United States Department of Agriculture is terminating your federal award. All right. Why is this happening? How do you understand this letter? I could read the whole thing, I guess, but I'd rather get into maybe some conversation about it.
Yeah. So how I understand this letter is that our incubator farm program, which is funded through the USDA's Beginning Farmers and Ranchers Development Grant Program, that it is considered by the government now to be a DEI initiative. And to us, the receipt of this was not only shocking and alarming, but heartbreaking. That fact couldn't be further from the truth. And that when I think of how PFC was founded as a grassroots initiative by the Somali Bantu community to bring in other community members to develop them as new entry farmers in our region. We were really careful in exploring across the country the kinds of programs we would develop and offer, and also the need in Western New York. And the fact is, you know, in Western New York, a third of all the refugees that resettle in our state are in this community. They all come with agricultural knowledge, experience, and honestly, a desire to grow their traditional foods, to be farmers. And this program was developed with the idea of building entrepreneurs in agriculture. And we've done it actually very successfully. So the fact that we received the second round of funding through this program, to us, said what we were doing was good, was right. And now, you know, we received this letter, which it terminates funding, significant funding for that program, and actually hurts all of us in Western New York.
And just to give, of course, the background, like you said, it started off as the Somali Bantu farm initially. So obviously, you know, the people that were involved, people were refugees for the most part from Somalia, from places in Africa. And of course, a lot of the folks who do farm out there right now are people who come from different places across the globe as well. At the same time, anybody can apply to be a farmer at the Providence Farm Collective, correct?
Correct. So as you mentioned, the Somali Bantus started this farm, and right after the Somali Bantus, I am part of the Somali Bantu community. When we arrived, our first concern is how do we keep and continue our heritage? How do we grow our own food? We come from agricultural background. How do we do this?
Did your family farm in Somalia?
Yes, my family farm, and there is a long story I always tell. I can go
love to hear
the
it. You're a good place for it.
Yeah, so right after we fled Somalia with my parents, we relocated to Kenya as refugees, and the United Nations High Commission for Refugees was giving food to refugees, but a lot of the Somali Bantus forgone the rations and chose to farm to grow their own food.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to rely on handouts. And to me, this was like, you're getting free food. Why try to grow your own food? But the idea was self-sufficiency. And I spent 12 years in refugee camps, both in Kenya and Tanzania. And when we came to the States, my family was resettled right on West Ferry. If you're familiar with Buffalo, the La Nova Pizzeria, right across the street.
Sure, yes. If you're near Hampshire and all those,
The next morning that we arrived, my parents, well, the night we came at night, and both my mom and dad and the caseworker who brought us to the house introduced us, kind of give us orientation.
Sure.
Yes. And there was plenty of food. There was cereal, pasta, rice, beans. And after she left, we went to bed. Waking up in the morning, I hear my parents in the kitchen talking that there wasn't food in the house. And this was a shocker to me. There was food last night. Actually, somebody came in the house and robbed us.
Oh, my.
So I walk into the kitchen, and my parents were like, oh, no, this is not food. I was like, it is food. So I always tell that story. And that is what sparked me. And my father actually was very serious about it. He said, no, I want to see real food. And if there's no real food, I humbly ask them to take me back where they took me from, because I want real food. So I asked him, Dad, what is real food? He's like, I need to have like collard greens, amaranth, okra, green bananas, corn, fresh corn. Like, oh, okay. So I took that to heart. Like, okay, this man is ready to go back
to a refugee camp.
Camp where it is not a good place to be.
Right.
Unless you're forced to be there. This must be very serious. So I looked around, and the only thing I could see was the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, our landlord from Sicily, when he came, I've explained it to him, and he knew, and he said, that's the experience. I had the same experience when I came to this country. So you know what? Feel free to grow whatever you can grow, but you have to call this number to check if there's anything underneath before you dig, just to make sure.
Okay.
Other than that, grow whatever you want to grow.
So this is basically where the Providence Farm Collective started.
And that's where the Somali Bantu
community. Backyard on West Ferry Street.
Yes, the Somali Bantu. So the community started seeing that coming, seeing a lot of tomatoes growing. And everyone was like, well, we need this. How can we make this big? And started the Somali Bantu community organization.
Sure.
And when the organization started, our main goal was to find farmland. And farmland access is no joke.
No.
It's not.
And just to jump in here, though, now you're out on Burton Road.
Yes, we are.
In Orchard Park. How many acres?
37.
37 acres of farmland, and it's all farmed.
Yes. Right? Yeah. We're out of tillable land.
You're out of tillable land and actually leasing some land as well.
Yes.
All started basically from the drive to want to have socially, I guess I'll call it, or culturally acceptable food.
Food, yes.
Right. And so now there is several different communities, we can talk about who they are, producing all of this food out in Orchard Park.
Yeah. Yeah, yearly, it's 100,000 plus pounds of produce.
100,000 plus pounds.
Feeding over 14,000 Western New Yorkers a year.
Wow.
Yeah, and we, you know, through, you know, this has been a lifelong commitment of Hamadis and the Somali Bantu community to, like, see fresh food needs, not just within their community or even other refugee communities. Hamadi has partnerships with Bread of Life Outreach in Colden. We donate, our farmers donate across Western New York because everybody eats. Everybody deserves access to fresh food.
And just getting back now to this letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Yes.
This idea that, and again, we're somewhat paraphrasing, and I'm going to put my own paraphrasing in, and I apologize if I'm slightly erroneous in this concept, but the idea is the falling under this notion that we've heard from this new administration that they're, you know, going to reverse DEI or basically outlaw any kind of DEI initiatives and federal funded programs. The idea being, again, I'm going to try to paraphrase this concept that DEI is somehow discriminatory.
Yes.
Does, well, the basic question, does Providence Farm Collective discriminate?
No. We are a community of Western New Yorkers, and you will come to the farm any given day and find, you know, 80 and 90-year-old American-born women working alongside folks in our giving garden. You will find people from across Western New York who are in community together to support this really important work for all of us. It's food access. It's educating, you know, agricultural entrepreneurs and empowering them. But it's also this idea of transitioning and protecting our farmland in the region.
Right. Because let's be honest, in Orchard Park, in that particular location, if that's not being farmed, if you're not there, it's a housing development.
Exactly. And there's huge pressure for that. And that's actually happened across Erie County. We've lost 40% of our farmland to development. And when you think about the importance, the security importance of a region to be self-sufficient in its ability to feed its community, this directly threatens that.
And to take it back to your story to a certain extent, Hamadi, and the stories that you can share about some of your fellow farmers who are out at the Providence Farm Collective, this is an opportunity for these families not only to get culturally appropriate food, but also just food in general, right? I mean, it's a self-sufficiency, right?
Yes, it is. It's a self-sufficiency both to the farmers and the whole region.
Right.
As Kristen indicated earlier, we have partnered with various food pantries across the city where we take fresh food. We started the farmers market on the west side. Again, back to my story,
right.
When we first arrived, there was no grocery store nearby. We used to push grocery carts from Amherst Street to West Ferry to just buy produce. Right now, during the summer, you have the farmer's market there on Grand Street bringing fresh, affordable produce.
Discussions on this program before, and I think it's become, hopefully for most people, that, you know, the Buffalo's West Side has been rejuvenated. It's by refugees and immigrants coming to this area. There, I mean, I think it's indisputable, but I'll just leave it at that. And so to that, though, I mean, there's always this kind of idea that, well, how can the United States, how can a city bring in more people? There's not enough. But here's a situation where people are finding not only a safe home, because they've lived in refugee camps probably for several years before they come to the United States and come to Buffalo. They're finding ways. The people aren't a burden to the society. They're a huge benefit to our local economy, our local culture.
Exactly. For example, the farmers, every penny, every dollar that they earn through their farm business goes right back to the economy. A lot of the farm, well, all of the farmers work minimum wage jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the farm income, it kind of supplements their income. It's an extra income to them. They get more disposable income, which they take back right back to a Western New York economy. So the farmers are not a burden. They
right.
will come here and they want all the available opportunities. But coming from a farming background here in the States, trying to go on your own to access land, it's almost undoable.
Right.
If you can read or write. We have a lot of folks who came here and have given up. But now you have farmers. We have one farmer right now who's this year actually starting his own urban farm in the East Side.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, he is starting. How did that happen? Because of Providence Farm Collective. On his own, he tells me every day, yesterday, he's like, I couldn't have done this. But now I'm able to farm. I'm able to pass down my legacy. This person has been farming all his life in the Congo, came to Buffalo, and until he came to PFC, it's like, I've almost given up.
Wow.
But once I found PFC, everything is flourishing right now.
And so now he's going to be a producer himself on the East Side and probably land that was maybe left behind, right?
It was actually a urban farm. So he, you know, there's where he's fortunate. There's
okay.
some infrastructure.
So there's, yeah.
But still, and that actually, you bringing that up goes to an interesting point in that actually growing on land that's left behind, even on the East Side, is really difficult to do.
Of course.
Because I think of Allison Dehoney, Buffalo Go Green, for years tried to purchase vacant lots and wasn't able to do that. So I think like this question of accessing land, it is a huge one in our region. And we also work with young farmers of the Good Farmers Guild. They're new entry farmers who are American born, and they also are trying to work through this issue of how do you support new entry farmers in accessing farmland and capital across our nation. Those two things are the biggest threat to transitioning farmland to a new generation of farmers. And so we're not unique in that way, but we are I think ahead of the curve in Western New York because we have these incredible partnerships. The Western New York Land Conservancy is one of our partners. We are all trying to work to solve this problem for Western New York.
We're with Hamadi Ali and also Kristen Heltman Weiss from the Providence Farm Collective this morning. If you're just joining us, Kristen and Hamadi walked in this morning with a letter from the USDA telling them that their Department of Agricultural grant, federal grant, has been canceled, terminated because of, to put it short, because it's being considered a DEI initiative. Just to kind of review that. Hamadi?
Yes.
We talked about this beforehand and you were able to do it. How many different communities are being represented out at Providence Farm Collective?
We have 9 different communities that farm at Providence Farm Collective.
Okay.
And from
you can still do it off your top of your head? Can you tell
yes,
me who they are?
Definitely.
Okay.
So we have the Somali Bantu community. We have Ethiopian community. We have Burundi community. We have the Congolese community. We have the Bengali community. We have the Karen community, Vietnamese community, and the Liberian community.
Burundi.
The Burundi community.
Yeah. I know I'm trying to keep them all straight
yeah,
too, Hamadi.
So.
I'm wondering for you, what are you learning as you get more? I mean, you've been doing this now for a while, but what are you learning from these different cultures? I'm curious.
And it is funny you asked that question. A very good example, if someone sees me down the street with a Burundian or a Congolese, they will assume these people are very similar. Maybe they come from the same country.
Sure.
But we are not. And I don't say that in a bad way.
Right.
But those people actually were right in a way. I came to find out our languages are so close.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes. Some words are very similar. How did I came to find this out? We have a lunch table where all the farmers congregate and we eat together and we get to share ideas. And sometimes we speak in our native languages and we get to learn. And that table, it's called Mesa ya Simulizi, the table of stories. You get to share your stories, whatever that is, you share with folks. And it's a beautiful thing. You have someone from Bangladesh who we might not have commonalities, but when we sit down and talk, there's that human connection. There's,
right.
Yeah. The other day I was talking to a coworker, a colleague, and she likes whistling.
Okay.
And I was like, why do you love whistling? She's like, well, it's a habit. But you know what? In my culture, it's frowned upon because it's like calling snakes. I'm like, well, it's the same in my culture, but it's like calling the devils. Oh. It's like, oh, we all share the same things. And that's what Providence Farm Collective does. Apart from farming, it's just people connecting cultures and learning from one another.
How about for you? I mean, Kristen, and obviously you come from a different perspective, but what about for you? What do you see? You know, when you see all these different cultures, these individuals from different cultures out working this farmland.
Oh, I see how much we have in common, honestly. So Hamadi and I have been working in partnership for 9 years now. We've been friends a little bit longer than that. And to me, it's always been this idea of how much we do have in common. You know, I think you ask anybody what's most important to them, and on any day, it's their family, right? It's caring for their family. We've grown this community that, you know, not to be like saccharine, but we are like this large Western New York family where we attract people from across the region who really are committed to being a part of this community of care. And that resonates with me. My kids come to the farm. My husband is very much involved from the beginning with all of this. My sister, my nieces. This is something where families congregate, where people from across Western New York who happen to also be from across the world
right.
sit down and share a meal 5 days a week with one another. You know, Jay, if you're a guest at PFC, you're welcome at our lunch table.
You won't walk away hungry.
And, you won't walk away hungry, but also you'll walk away actually feeling really good about the community we live in. And I think, you know, so yeah, we received this letter, but we're going to keep continuing to do what we do, and that is to build community connection in Western New York, to share our love of farming, our love of food, our love for one another with the greater community.
Love for farming. You love farming?
Oh, yes.
I know it's part of your heritage, but you love it.
A part of my heritage. I've almost, started the Somali Bantu Community Farm because of my parents, but eventually I came to love farming more than I did, you know, when I was back home or when I was in my teenagers.
Yeah, changed? What changed for you?
Apart from the food, just being in the field itself, it's a stress relief.
Mm.
You get to work with nature. You get to work with your hands. You experience different things. You see how food is grown. I get to take my kids to the farm. I work with all my four children in the field. And to me, that is way, way more rewarding than anything else in life.
His youngest son was actually born like in the early years of the Somali Bantu Community Farm. And has been playing every summer. Like I've watched him grow up literally on the farm. And that's another wonderful thing is we actually have three folks on staff who were teens working on their community farms at Providence Farm Collective, who went on to college, graduated, applied for jobs at PFC, and are now doing incredible work alongside of us. So that's been incredibly fulfilling too.
We're going to take a time out and come back and talk some more. We're talking about the Providence Farm Collective out in Orchard Park with us, Kristen Heltman-Wise, the executive director, deputy executive director, Hamadi Ali with us. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
What do classical symphonies, in-depth news, dramas, DIY, and your favorite indie bands have in common? They're all part of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. We've updated our station names to reflect the big picture. BTPM PBS, BTPM NPR, BTPM Classical, BTPM The Bridge, BTPM Create, and BTPM PBS Kids. Different formats, one mission. To serve our cross-border community. Learn more at btpm.org.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next. I'm Jay Moran here on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. With us from the Providence Farm Collective this morning, Kristen Heltman-Wise, the executive director, Hamadi Ali, deputy executive director. I want to move on with some other elements of the Farm Collective, because there's so many elements to it. But at the same time, I just want to make sure that we highlight what you brought to me this morning, this letter from the Department of Agriculture that is terminating a grant that went to the PFC, to the Providence Farm Collective. And I'm just going to read part of it. Basically, it says the Secretary of Agriculture has determined, per the department's obligations to the Constitution and laws of the United States, that priority includes ensuring that the department's awards do not support programs or organizations that promote or take part in diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, or any other initiatives that discriminate on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, or other protected characteristics. I did ask you this, a kind of a direct question about this, Kristen, but you know, is this something that's challengeable? Because, you know, as I asked you earlier, clearly you do not discriminate on race in any way whatsoever.
Right.
We plan
to appeal.
Okay.
It, and we're working across with cross-sector partners, including in government, to help guide us in that. But we also are working with an attorney to do that as well. Because to us, I think what's most stinging about receipt of this letter is that it suggests the work that we're doing is unlawful, that it's wrong, that there's something threatening that we've created and we're doing, and it couldn't be farther from the truth.
When it was handed to me, to say it was a chilling moment to see this, how did you take it when you got it?
I was incredibly sad when I got it, because I think of, you know, Hamadi's invested decades in this. For me, it's been 9 years, hardworking 9 years of centering all that we do on wellness for everybody and creating a space for people to come together across Western New York, all Western New Yorkers, to connect, to really grow our community. I think so much happens when we don't have those opportunities to connect. And agriculture and food, a meal, always provides that opportunity. And we're a place that provides that for people. And I think, chilling and shocked and really sad.
Right.
but also grateful that we have a community of support that we can reach out to share this challenge with, and to have people advocate for us on our behalf, to actually attest to the really good work that is being done every day.
How about for you, Hamadi? And if you don't mind, maybe if there are some other feelings from some of the other farmers as well as they've been able to process this. I'm just curious how that is, that news has maybe made its way through.
Yes. When I first received the email from Kristen, I read the first part of the letter and I just stopped because I just couldn't process it. Sat down again and went back, but I stayed away from reading the original letter and went through Kristen's email.
Sure.
And at the bottom of the email, Kristen literally says, "We are resilient, we own our land, and we can do this." And that's all I needed. It reminded me of everything. And one of the farmers that I have spoken to about this, he literally told me, "We will weather this." Mm. Yes, we have come through a lot, and this shall pass. And I was like, okay, yes.
If I may, yeah. Having married into a family of farmers, very much a farmer's attitude,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that as well. In terms of dollars and cents, though, what can you share about this? What does this mean for the Providence Farm Collective?
So the total of the three-year grant was a $750,000 investment in Western New York through Providence Farm Collective, $250,000 a year. We closed the grant for last year and have received the $250,000 for year two. We will only receive funding support for anything that has been done up until April 25th of this year for year two. And then year three, that has been completely terminated. The fact that farming in Western New York really doesn't start until May, we have not spent a lot of that money. So it's huge. That is the main funding source for our incubator program. And when you think about the fact that we are the only incubator farm program in New York State, west of Ithaca, that offers on-land resource support training for farmers, that is a threat to us all.
I lost my train of thought here for a second, Hamadi, and I apologize for that. But in terms of, like you said, the farmers are going to weather on what, May 17th, speaking of weathering on, planting day at
yes.
Providence Farm Collective. Talk
yes.
about planting day. I had a chance to see it a couple of years ago.
Yes, planting days. This is where all the farmers come out and start planting in their plots. They get their seedlings. If it's direct seeding or seedlings, they go right to work. Everyone works together. And that's when the season starts at PFC. And come May 17th, you come at Burton Road, where PFC is located, mm-hmm. you will be surprised. We got folks coming out right now.
Okay.
We're just telling them, no, it's not time yet. We have to wait. But every time you get a couple of farmers just walking around, looking around like, is the season ready? Can we start? I'm like, nope. Come May 17, we'll start.
And for the most part, everything's done by hand, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How's the land? I mean, you farmed and... farmed in a refugee camp. How's the land in Orchard Park?
It's beautiful. Well, the land
obviously fertile. I mean, over 100,000 pounds of produce, right?
Yes.
Well, we're protecting the land with an easement, and the only way we can do that is because it's been identified as soil of significant importance to the state of New York. Mm-hmm. So prime agricultural land and us protecting that is also like protecting the future of our food system. Yeah. I mean, you can attest to more the fertility,
the quality
of compost.
It, though.
Composting, yes. And yeah. So we have composting program now. And when we first, I think, started on the land, it wasn't as good as it is right now. Actually, it got way better because of the organic farming and trying to just remediate the land and taking good care of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a, so in the compost, because we're talking, what's it, 37 acres, we said, right?
Yes.
So you're composting into 37 acres of land.
Land, yes.
That's a pretty, I do a little, this much composting. I know how difficult that is. And I'm holding my finger about an inch from each other. And so that's a heck of an effort right there.
Yes, it is. But we are doing it. And we have folks who I think are committed to doing what they're doing. And so far, they've been doing a very good job.
We were really lucky because a couple years ago, we got a grant to build our compost business.
Right.
So we're like DEC certified. We partner with Farmer Pirates and other folks. And we have a couple staff members who like really love doing this.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. And when you say love doing it, I mean, what are we talking about? You know, they go to the most extensive degree to compost?
Yes, the compost, and also coming up with different business ideas, like selling the compost to the wider community rather than just...
So now the compost isn't just for your land?
It's not just for the land. It's gardeners around the region. And maybe, who knows, this year, next year, we'll start the compost business.
Oh, very good.
But now it's just for the farmers.
Oh, okay.
We are in the process of, you know, expanding and sell it to the wider community.
And just to be clear, the organic material that you're using is compost. Is it just material that's coming off the farm itself, or you're not bringing in other organic material as well?
So we work with Farmer Pirates. They collect food scraps.
Okay, so that, I gotcha.
So they bring it there. We work with some arborists who drop off like tree shavings and things like that. And then, yes, it's off the farm too.
Okay.
So it's all of it together makes this beautiful, beautiful soil.
And how much, I sound pretty nerdy here talking about compost, but I'm just curious about how much now are we talking about? I mean, how much?
Many tons. I don't know the numbers.
Tons?
Yeah.
Tons of organic material.
Yes.
Being recycled out at this farm.
Yes. Yeah, we have grown so much since you visited in 2022.
Yeah, right.
We also have four high tunnels where we started crops, I think, in early March, right? So we'll start harvesting soon.
We harvested yesterday the arugula, actually.
Yeah. There you go.
what did you harvest yesterday?
Arugula.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah.
It's ready. The radishes, salad mix, spinach, it's all ready. And we are taking all of this to food pantries because it was a trial in the high tunnels. And like, okay, we'll grow it sooner and then we'll donate it to various food pantries.
Wow. Yeah. Any estimate how much food we're talking about there?
Yesterday, the arugula was about 60 pounds.
60 pounds of arugula?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'd be very popular at a lot of restaurants around here. We're talking with Hamadi Ali and Kristen Heltman Wise from the Providence Farm Collective. So what kind of activity goes on then in the off season? So obviously you do have plenty still going out at the Farm Collective, even though, of course, a lot of it's covered in Orchard Park snow, which we know, of course, could be quite heavy.
Yeah, off the season, we do more research. We work with the farmers. We offer business workshops and various things that the farmers have to get before the next season starts. There are a lot of trainings, like how to operate a machine, and, you know, how you can have a business plan.
Sure.
Because most of our farmers want to learn. They come from farming background.
Sure.
But the business aspect of farming is what is lacking mostly. And a PFC kind of puts that, like, hey, this is what we need to put in our farmers. When they go out there, they can do these things, you know, effectively on their own. If they need assistance, it may be maybe a minimum assistance, but we know we equip them with the right business, you know, understanding of so, how their farm should operate.
So the food they grow, I mean, we kind of touched upon this again, but just to clarify, they may be growing it for their own families or friends or community, but might also be marketing it as well.
The incubator farmers.
Okay.
The incubator farmers. The community is just for the community, but the incubator farmers mainly is for a business, farm business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're finding markets for their products. I guess that goes without saying as well.
They are. So we have the CSA.
Mm-hmm.
We have the farmers market. And also part of the donations, we have the PFC Food Aggregation Program. What that is, PFC pays the farmers a fair price for their produce.
Okay.
And in turn, PFC takes that food to food pantries as in a form of donation. But the farmers get paid fairly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. A collective, a true collective on so many levels. We've got a little bit more time to talk, so we're going to take a break here. Talking with Kristen Heltman-Wise, Hamadi Ali from the Providence Farm Collective. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next. Finishing up our conversation with two members of the Providence Farm Collective, their executive director, Kristen Heltman-Wise. Hamadi Ali is the deputy executive director. Hamadi, you touched upon it before we went to break, but I want to expand on this because another part of your very ambitious efforts at the Farm Collective was setting up the farmers market over on the west side, and that's going to be starting up again soon, right?
Exactly. So the farmers market was the idea of the incubator farmers and the communities. And they've approached the PFC team and expressed that they want the food they grow to go back to the community. And how do they do that? There are various ways, but a farmers market is one of those ways. And we definitely can help in that area. And right after that, Christine, myself, and the rest of the team start going around doing research where we can find space to have a farmer's market. And fortunately, we found a space right almost what I consider the center. I don't know if it is the center, but on Grant Street at the M&T parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We found our space, and the farmers couldn't be more happier. And in 2022,
this is our fourth year.
Right. So the farmers market started, and it has been going. It's been strong. Every year we have added vendors. We started with, I think, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are at 12.
Okay.
Yes. And this year, I think, last year we were at 12. I think this year I have 16 that have already signed up.
Wow.
That are ready to go to come and sell their fresh produce to the community.
Now, let's see. So the farmer's market starts up in June?
Yes. It runs from June 21st.
Okay.
From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Every Saturday?
Every Saturday. So from June 21st to October 25th.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I go to the farmer's market on a Saturday on Grant Street, describe the scene for me. What do you see when at these farmers markets? Farmers markets, everyone's different. They have their own special life, and I'm kind of curious about yours.
So ours started as Providence Farm Collective Farmers Market.
Okay.
This year, it is Providence Farm International Farmers Market.
Okay.
Providence. Yes. So there is almost every veggie you can find in the world.
Really?
You have folks who came from Egypt, and I haven't known this because we don't have Egyptian farmers, and found what they call the Egyptian spinach.
Okay.
Yes, it's the jute leaf, J-U-T-E.
All right.
That's how I know it, but actually it's called the Egyptian spinach, funny enough. And she's like, yes, I can find this, but not in a fresh form. This is what I've been looking for. And there were two buckets of it, two totes, and she took both. You know, you can't find this fresh anywhere. It's very delicate. So it has, either you have to freeze it, and to find it fresh, it's just difficult. Yeah. So you have from the traditional cultural foods to the American staple, carrots, cherry tomatoes, to African eggplants, okra, collard greens, you name it. It's almost whatever you think of, you will probably find it at a Providence Farm International Farmers Market. And our farmers, their whole idea is to get food into the community. Bring this food so folks can get fresh food. And at the end of market, a lot of the farmers will tell you, whatever's left over, I can sell. If you have a way of donating or giving it to someone else, take it and give it or donate it.
Wow, what a great attitude. Yeah. A great spirit for sure. Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that. Also want to talk about the CSA. That also caught me a little bit by surprise as well. CSAs are around the area at various farms as well. So pleased to hear about the CSA at Providence Farm Collective. How does it work for you guys?
Well, CSA, for those who are not familiar with CSA, is Community Supported Agriculture. Right. It's like a subscription. You pay upfront, supporting the farmer before the season begins. You pay them. And the Providence Farm Collective CSA is an 18-week program. In the share, you get whatever the farmers at PFC grow. And the program has been very, very successful. The community itself, and by community, I mean the general community, have been very supportive. We started with 18 members 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yes. This year, last year we had 75 members, so we have been growing.
Sure.
Very deliberately. We keep it low so we have to accommodate our members. And this year we are over, I think, 25% where we were last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's going to be enough produce?
There is going to be enough produce.
Okay.
Yes, there is. There's always is. And the beauty of it, our CSA members, like the farmers, when they're not able to pick their shares, they'll tell you, donate my share to a food pantry. Or whatever they can't take that day, they will pick it and tell, hey, if you donate a food pantry, then take this to a food pantry, donate it. It's a beautiful program, and we are very appreciative of the community that supports us.
And I like you said, I mean, you've already described some of the food that comes from the Providence Farm Collective. Just kind of curious, can you maybe like give me a sample of what might be delivered or might be offered during a given week when I show up to get my produce for that week as a member of the CSA? I mean, just throw some names of products that might be out there.
Amaranth, my favorite.
Amaranth? What's
amaranth,
that?
Yes, amaranth. It's also in the West Indies, is known as Kalulu.
Okay.
It's a leafy green close to spinach. And there is a funny story to it when we first started the farm. We, our first location, when we were taken there, this weed that we've been looking for.
Okay.
I couldn't find it anywhere. It was just growing wildly. And people stopped picking it when we went there. And not in a bad way, the Americans start looking at us like, that's pigweed. What are you going to do with pigweed? Like, well, you don't know the beauty of this. Just leave us alone. Today, we include that in our CSA and people love it. Yes.
But the vegetable version.
So the vegetable version, yes. Okay. Yes. But they're both edible.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, they're both edible. Right. So, but there was, and we incorporate, and people are like, what is this? Like, this is amaranth. It is edible. And a lot of folks actually are used to the grain. Because amaranth produce a grain, so okay. A lot of people are used to the grain, but you can eat the leaves.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, very tasty, delicious. That, we have African eggplants. They're a little bitter, but we include it in the CSA. And you have regular staples, beets, carrots.
Potatoes,
collard greens, garlic. Yeah. You name, yeah. So we try to bring everything. We try to bring the whole world
right
together. Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to, are you still taking CSA subscriptions, or are you done for the preseason here, so to speak?
We are still taking CSA subscriptions. Yes.
Okay.
We're still accepting.
How could somebody find out more?
So you can visit providencefarmcollective.org/CSA, and you can sign up there. You can visit our social media on Instagram, Facebook, and I think we are on LinkedIn
too,
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So,
all right. So a lot to find out there as well. We're coming down to our last couple of moments here with the Providence Farm Collective, Kristen Heltman-Wise and Hamadi Ali with me. And just kind of didn't want to bury the lead here necessarily, but at the top of the program, if you're just tuning in, Kristen and Hamadi showed up with the news that the Department of Agriculture is terminating their federal grant because of, I'll just paraphrase, make it short here. In essence, they have been deemed a DEI initiative, for lack of a better term. And of course, if you've been following the national news, you know about the approach on the federal level now when it comes to DEI. For the two of you, as we wrap up here, and we did somewhat touch upon this, but the attitude moving forward, despite this, you know, it's a blow. It's a blow to, every nonprofit, you know, goes through, you know, funding challenges to have this happen. But what's the attitude moving forward?
So for us, you know, we look at nonprofits and this vital role they play in civil society. You know, there's always been this understanding that government, corporate America, philanthropy would all come together and each play their role. Obviously, we're destabilized in that government has upended that at the moment. I think, our community's attitude has always been our strength is in community, and it's in bringing people together, and we'll continue to do that. I think Western New Yorkers, we are resilient people. At the same time, how many blows do we have to continue to take to be forced to be resilient? I think there are resources available that we should access in Western New York. I think there should be investment in our region and in our community, and it shouldn't be a continued expectation of, you know, that city of good neighbors, they're resilient, they'll come together. Of course we will. But at the same time, you know, all of us around this country, we're in this together. And I think like that, that is what we lean into. And Hamadi, what do you?
I saw you nodding your head there.
Yes, everything you've said, Kristen, and I will just add the very few words our favorite quarterback used last year. Be good, or do good and be good, and God bless. So,
nice.
It can be better. It can be another way. It's nice. Just...
Well stated, for sure. And it never hurts to quote the Buffalo Bills.
Never.
that must have been a surprise when you moved here. I so appreciate the conversation. Hopefully, will there be more news about this grant? Perhaps maybe some better news as we move up down the line here. Thank you so much for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you, Jay.
Our guests, Kristen Heldman-Wise and Hamadi Ali from the Providence Farm Collective. This has been What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.